The snow that we experienced this weekend may have caused some accidents, and I was watching or looking at the weather channel, a weather website, and I saw a video of a driver that a car that almost hit the police officer along the street when the car hit, I think, a black ice, and it lost its balance. Well, there was this story about a wife of a diplomat who became a suspect after a teenager died in a car accident. And this wife of diplomat was allowed to return to her home country secretly. Accordingly, they let her escape, but not given a chance to defend herself in the court of law after claiming her diplomatic immunity. And political leaders from somewhere and concerned individuals, they have these conflicting views and try to find common grounds in the interpretation of how diplomat immunity be used. Accordingly, sabi po ng magulang ng teenager na that was the victim, they did not desire the suspect to be punished. They just want to talk to her as a process of healing. That is, again, an example of wrong place and wrong time can be tragic. Blaming cannot restore the life of the dead. And what should we learn? What should we do when we are at the receiving end of a tragedy? Kung tayo po yung nagiging biktima, ano po ang ating reaction, behavior? If the victim's parents were believers, they have exemplified what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 to 11. Let's read through this. Through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. Let's read again. Through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering and becoming like him in his death. Have you ever reached that level of your faith yet where you would think about this? That is some kind of maturity that we need to look forward to, but don't force it. Don't try to say, oh, I want to die like Christ, some kind, if just to show off. No, by faith we live in righteousness. We are innately unrighteous, wicked people, and to do righteousness, this is something that comes from God. The effect in us when we live in righteousness and we have faith in Christ, there's this desire to imitate Christ. There's this desire to imitate how Christ lived, especially during worst times, during sufferings, during tragic situations. And the Lord practically exemplified at his crucifixion on how, as we believers, may respond to misfortune and when justice is at stake. Many times we want to fight for our right, and that is exactly the opposite of Christian life, fighting for our right. When you hear people saying, you need to fight for your right, think about that. It is a human nature. It's not a Christ-like nature. Joseph's life story represents a propriety, a proper behavior of godly believers. When Joseph was pleading for mercy from his brothers were so cruel to him, they wanted to kill him. Eventually, they sold him because they want to get rid of him. It was a tragic experience. We do not like that experience to happen among our siblings, among us brothers. But Joseph kept on trusting the Lord. And his dramatic life showed that God allows great sufferings. God allows great suffering for greater purposes. Severe famine caused his brothers to buy grain in Egypt. That snow, just like what Brother Dave said a while back, that heavy snow, if it was not snow, if it was rain, we would have been flooded, and we would rather let the snow sit on our backyard than being flooded, especially in your basement. That's tough, right? Meron bang na-flood ng basement nila sa inyo? Wala kasi kasi snow, di ba? Now, Joseph did not play blame game. When they meet, kayo kasi, binintan niyo ako. Ngayon, ako naman ngayon ako ang boss ngayon. No. Instead, he told them, come. Relocate to Egypt. They told their father, Jacob, let's relocate to Egypt. Joseph is the ruler of Egypt. Why was Joseph in Egypt? I don't know. No, we sold him, right? Yeah, we sold him to Egypt. I don't know who was so brave enough to admit that they sold Joseph to Egypt when Jacob asked, bakit na sa Egypt si Joseph? I thought he was killed by animal as you have reported. Hindi ko alam. Baka bininta namin. Baka ibininta namin, hindi ko maalala. I don't know. That's how many people would do, right? They are not brave enough to admit their fault. But anyway, Joseph saw that as that great suffering that he had is for greater purposes, to save life, the life of his family. So even in his hesitation, Jacob prayed, Lord, I don't want to leave Canaan. You told me to stay in Canaan, but I don't want to leave Canaan. And now I'm forced to go to Egypt. I'm old. I want to die in Canaan. But the Lord told him, go ahead, Joseph. Go ahead, Jacob. I will be with you. I will come down with you to Egypt. So Jacob brought along with all his household. They went to Egypt. And he was surprised. They were given a great privilege waiting for them. Let's read again, verse 28 to 30. Let's read. Now Jacob sent Jodiah ahead of him to Joseph to get direction to Goshen. When they arrived in the region of Goshen, Joseph had his chariot made ready and went to Goshen to meet his father Israel. As soon as Joseph prepared before him, he threw his arms around his father and wept for a long time. Israel said to Joseph, now I am ready to die, since I have seen myself that you are still alive. If there's famine, if there's recession, it's reasonable, pragmatic necessity to look for greener pasture. Why stay in a place na wala ka na nang makakain? Go ahead and look for greener pasture. And many of us came to Canada because we think that Canada would give us a better kind of life. Nobody come to Canada thinking, oh, I want to go to Canada because I don't like a better life. I want there to suffer. nobody would think about that. God uses tough measure when we hesitate to respond to His calling. God may have been calling you to come here, but you were hesitating at first. But still, God would, if He wills, He can do it. He will do it. Interestingly, Jacob had to restrain his feeling. He was so homesick with his son. He wanted to personally see Joseph, his favorite son. But instead of proceeding to the city where Joseph lived or resided, where Joseph stayed, "I want to see Joseph. I want to see Joseph." No, he went to Goshen. He went to Goshen. Why? How did Jacob know that they should settle in Goshen? Or how did even Joseph know that Goshen is a good place? Goshen was the best place for pasture in Egypt. If you can imagine the map, Goshen is in the northern part of Egypt, that is next to the delta or the mouth of the river coming from the Mediterranean Sea. Can you go to Google, Louis, and just go to a map and type Goshen Bible map? And then click one image and maybe we can see that. There you go, that's Goshen, that's on the topmost part. So if you can see that purple color, those are rivers. So the river, Goshen is next to the river, so it's really well watered place. So, and Jacob brought along with him his sheep and his cattle, and they needed to pasture their livestock. And as Joseph's family, they were given that special privilege. Pharaoh king of Egypt gave Goshen to them. The scripture says in Genesis chapter 45, verse 17 to 18. Let's read this together. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Tell your brothers, do this, load your animals and return to the land of Canaan and bring your father and your families back to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt. You can enjoy the fat of the land." So Goshen at the time is the best land for pasture. Joseph's brothers heard it when Pharaoh gave his instruction to Joseph. And they probably told their father that we have a privilege. If we go to Egypt, Pharaoh decreed, whatever Pharaoh says, basta sinabi ng hari, hindi mababali. How do you say that in English? Interestingly, Jacob sent Judah. He told Judah, go and ask Joseph for what direction we should get to Goshen. Why Judah? Why not Reuben? Why not Simeon? Why not Levi, Issachar, or Asher, or Zebulun? Why Judah? Well, because Jacob might have thought that if he had one thing to be done, for sure that it should be done, it should be Judah. He can depend upon Judah, that Judah would not hesitate to do everything, all measure, so that the assignment he is given would be, the responsibility is given would be accomplished. Previously, Judah proved to be a reliable person, and before they returned to Egypt, he asked Jacob, "Father, we want the harsh ruler in Egypt wants us to bring Benjamin to Egypt." But Jacob said, no, I don't want you to bring Benjamin. And Judah stand up and say, "I will take the blame, whatever happened to Benjamin, and I will make sure that Benjamin will return to Canaan." And indeed, they returned to Canaan safe, all of them, that exemplary leadership of Judah to accomplish the responsibility that he was tasked to do, it served as a prelude, it served as a preparation for Jacob's prophecy for Judah. Now, some of you might be thinking, why is it that the king of Israel raised from Judah, or the genealogy of Jesus come from Judah and not Joseph, wherein Joseph must have been the most appropriate, most righteous among them brothers? Why Judah? Why King David come from Judah? A few years later, before he died, Jacob prophesied about the future of his sons. He said about Judah in Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, let's read this. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nation shall be his. That scepter is a symbol of authority, that symbol of power of the king. Whoever has that, he has the power. It should not come as a surprise that many kings, the greatest king of Israel, come from Judah, and their descendants continue to reign for many generations. It is prophesied. And this prophecy was also about the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, who will reign forever. All nations will bow down to him. It is concluded in Revelation chapter 15, verse 4. Let's read this. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Now, what is your view? What do you think? What's your opinion about the return of Christ? When will Christ return? Will Christ coming sooner or later? Will Christ come in our generation, or 100 years, 50 years, 1,000 years from now? How do you view that? Now, our view of Christ's return will certainly affect the way we live our lifestyle. I know of a person who said, I was sharing the gospel, bata pa ako, I still have many years to come. You can share it to others. I am a bad grass. Ayan, sabi niyo, the bad grass live long. Masamang damo. Ay, mahabang buhay ngayon ang kanyang nang iniisip. That is not true. Many bad people would die anytime. If as bad or good, will die anytime. The way we think about this, when Christ returns, we surely would think about the way we live our lifestyle, every moment of our life, day in, day out. The Lord Jesus illustrated his return in the parable of faithful servant. This is how we may live as faithful servants of the Lord. He compared himself to a man. There was this man who was going to a long journey, travel to another country, but he did not tell when he would return. So what he did not carry everything he had. So the money he had, he gave to his servants, 5 for one servant, 5 bags of gold, 5 bags of money to one servant, 2 bags of money to another servant, and 1 bag of money to yet another servant, according to their ability, according to their ability to manage how they would take care of that bags of money. And what happened was, that servant with 5 bags of money went on and invest the money he had received and doubled the amount and make 5 bags of money more. The servants who received 2 bags of money went on and invested that bags of money, and he doubled the bags of money that he had and made 2 bags more. While the other one, who received just 1 bag of money, he was thinking that, everything I will do, my master will just take it away from me. I cannot gain anything from here. So what he did, he went on and dig on the ground and cover it, hid it underground, buried it, and then that's it. The man returned and say, "How are you? What did you do to the bags of money I gave you?" And the person who received five bags and doubled that five bags of money, "Here is your money. I made it into 10. You give me 5, it's now I return, it's 10. Good and faithful servant." And then the second servant, "Oh, here's your money. It's 4 now. You gave me 2, now it's 4. Good and faithful servant. And how about you?" He asked the one. "Oh, I know you were tough. I know that everything I will do with your money, you will take it away just like that too. You see, they made 10, and yet you take all the 10. He made 2 more. He gave that 4 bags. Here is your money, just 1 bag. I hid it on the ground so that it would not be lost. You lazy servant. Take that money. Give it to that person with 10 bags of money. You keep that." He did not expect that. That man was expecting that the man, the boss, the master, would take that money for himself. And yet the master returned the money to the person that they gave. What did the master said? The master declared in Matthew 25:23, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." In another passage, the man was crowned king. And the king needed somebody to be in charge of cities. And because of this man is good with 5, he gave him 5 cities to be governor. That man who was given 2, and he was able to manage it. He was given 2 cities to manage, to administer. And that man who did nothing to what was given him, he was thrown out and punished. We love it when someone will say, "Good job." You heard that? Did you hear people say, "Good job"? Do you say to your children when they do something, "Good job, son. Good job, daughter"? And you love to hear that. It sounds so good in the ear. When your student would do your best and do your assignment and doing great in your exam, and your teacher would say, good job, students, good job. You like to hear that. And for you employees, if your boss would say, "Oh, boss, tapos na yung ginawa ko. Here's what I did." "Oh, good job, well done, well done." Now, think about that. If parents, if teachers, if employers are so generous to appreciate what you do, would the King of Kings, would the Lord of Lords, would the most generous of everything be so koripot, thrifty in saying and rewarding us? Would you like to hear him say, "Well done, good job"? It says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, let's read this together. "Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. Second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, how much faith do you have to believe that you will reign with Christ on earth for 1,000 years? How do you sense that? How do you believe that? How do you appreciate that? Do you believe that you will be a governor of Kyrgyzstan or a president of Afghanistan or a mayor of Abu Dhabi? What do you think? What do you think? Is this a joke for you? Now, if you can take that and personally think that God is preparing me to be the mayor of Winnipeg one day, how about that? Or the governor of Yukon territory, Nunavut, God will reward each of us according to how we use the gift he has given us. That's for sure. That's for sure. The parable that we just heard a while back is an illustration of what is to come. Are you longing for the return of Christ? Do you expect to reign with Christ when he comes again? You will certainly receive eternal reward if you have diligently invested your spiritual gift. Have you discovered your spiritual gift yet? Pray for wisdom. Ask the Lord, what is it, Lord, that you have given me? What spiritual gift? And then ask, Lord, give me that overflowing willingness to obey you, that I may obey you with whole heart. Pray for wisdom and propriety, how proper behavior, how you would use your spiritual gift. It's not a forced one. You need to understand that we need the empowerment of Christ before we can use our spiritual gift for him to accept what we do. It's not because you are good in something. I want to do this, you know, I have this certificate of doing this, and I need to do this because of I know what I'm going to do. That attitude is not acceptable to God. Why? That's good for starters, but not acceptable to God. Why? Because the only thing that God would accept is perfect. What is perfect? We cannot do perfect unless the perfect God empowers us. Only by the empowerment of the perfect Holy Spirit that our effort will be accepted to God. Think about that. Kaya yung mga nag-iisip, oh, okay na yan, pwede na yan. You're wasting your time. I'm telling you, you're wasting your time. Yung attitude of pwede na yan is a waste of time and effort because it would not be accepted to God. Would God accept it? No, because what he accepts is what the Lord, the Spirit of Christ, has done in our life. So we can show off to other people. People would appreciate you and clap at you, what you do, because they think you are better than them. But to God, it's just a waste of time, waste of effort. Now let's read again verse 31. In 32, Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, I will go up and speak to Pharaoh and will say to him, my brothers and my father's household who are living in the land of Canaan who have come to me, the men are shepherds, they tend livestock, and they have brought along their flock and herds and everything they own. Now Joseph was appointed the ruler of Egypt, and he displayed propriety or proper behavior as the second highest ranking official in Egypt. He was not the king, he is the prime minister. He was the prime minister that he needed to tell Pharaoh that his family have arrived. He needed to inform Pharaoh about their presence in Egypt. That is proper behavior. He did not keep secret of their presence. He did not delay even. No, I will just enjoy first my fellowship with my father and just tell them Pharaoh later, maybe tomorrow. I'll just stay here for a week or two, then go to Pharaoh next week or tomorrow. No, he was mindful of political protocol or propriety to inform the king of Egypt why he respected Pharaoh that much. And that respect was shown in the way he behaved. He think of Pharaoh first and foremost. Do you think that Joseph went to meet his father, his brothers, his relatives by himself alone? Do you think that he would do that? Being the prime minister, would the prime minister of this country walk alone and go and meet his father somewhere? I don't think that would happen. For sure, there were soldiers who went along with him to keep him secure. There were dignitaries also, associates, political advisors. They could have joined him. If you were reading about Duterte, Duterte went to see President Putin alone. Can you believe that? No. There were three generals and colonels and many military officers who went with him in the chartered 767 Philippine Airlines. What does that mean? Only them who fly in that. And there were, andon din yung si dating presidential assistant senator, you know him, and other senators too, who want to have make selfie with him, or have their picture taken for publicity. That is how you would think, how you would imagine Joseph when he went to see his father. And Joseph quickly think about Pharaoh, wanted Pharaoh to know that his family has arrived. Why? Why would he think about that? He was wise. It was to avoid political plan or accusation against him. Or why? Because it appears like he was playing favoritism. Why favoritism? Favoritism toward his family. Why? He let them go and live in the best part of Egypt. Why not the dignitaries? Let them live in the best part of Egypt. Why his family? That's favoritism. Actually, Pharaoh decreed it. But to inform Pharaoh, my lord, your decree had been implemented as you wished. I brought my family to the best part of Egypt, as you have decreed. And that implies that Joseph was aware of propriety or respectable behavior as ranking official of Egypt. It's possible that there were also political oppositions. They were watching for faults, something to criticize Joseph. Now let's look closely. Maybe Joseph would be hiding something, and let's go there and just pretend to be with him. Just be silent, you know, or just observe. Huh? We will report that to Pharaoh if he do something that we don't like. Okay, okay, okay. Well, look that. Okay. It should have been more obvious to those political opponents or positions that it was Pharaoh's decision for his family to live in Goshen when Joseph quickly returned and informed Pharaoh about the arrival of his family. That day, now, for sure, it was implemented because Pharaoh said it himself. That was godly wisdom and godly propriety for Joseph not to abuse his authority as ruler of Egypt. Another possible reason why he had to inform Pharaoh very quickly about the arrival of his family was to make sure that Pharaoh knew what to expect from his family. Prioritizing Pharaoh is high respect, is there's this thankfulness in the heart of Joseph that he was given the privilege to become ruler of Egypt. And for his thankfulness, he did his best as ruler of Egypt. Now, Joseph and his family were Hebrews. They were known to be shepherds. Hebrews were known to be shepherds, and ancient Egyptians did not like to live with shepherds. Shepherds were detestable to them. Amoy sheep, of course. Now, think about this. Shepherds do not go every now and then and go to the field in the morning and return home and take a bath because they are so amoy pawis, they smell sweat. They don't do that. Perhaps they would go home only once a month or many months before they go home and take a bath, proper hygiene. Think about that. Would you like to sit next in the bus to a person who would just take a bath only once in a blue moon, if the blue moon comes out? The Egyptian officials, or on a political point of view, maybe there were Egyptian natives who have political aspirations too. They want to be promoted. And the Egyptian officials may have these personal dreams to be promoted, and they may silently try to find legal means to accuse Joseph and to damage his reputation so that Joseph would be demoted and they will be promoted. This political scheme has similarity. And a political scheme that caused envy is not isolated in the Bible. It has been a biblical example, and even these days it happens in our midst. A promotion spark envy. Now, in your office, when you were promoted, think about your best friend if he can deal with you similar to how he did deal with you before. You go out of the office and go to Tim Horton or McDonald's or wherever you want to have your coffee, Starbucks or wherever. Every Friday, TGIF, let's go. But you were promoted and you cannot have that TGIF anymore because you need to do your assignment first before everything else because you want to be a responsible supervisor or manager. And your partner going for coffee, every now and then would say, kasi na-promote ka na, kaya medyo ano ka na ngayon. Have you experienced that before? I experienced it personally. I know what I'm talking about. King Darius planned to assign Daniel as administrator over all the kingdom of Persia. And Daniel was a Hebrew. And King Darius was a Persian. So he should have assigned a Medes or a Persian to be administrator, but he was thinking, oh, I like Daniel, he is wise, he is trustworthy, I like him. And then governors or satraps and other officials were envious. They tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel, but could not find corruption in him. Daniel was trustworthy. He was neither corrupt nor negligent in his work. So they can see he went to work earlier than if his office time is 9, he would go there at 7. If his office time is 3, he will go home at 7. So he was early and he was late to go home. He just did his job. And nothing they can find to accuse him except when he was praying 3 times a day. So these governors and other officials persuaded King Darius, can you make a decree? What is the decree? Can you make a decree that everyone in your kingdom should pray only to you, not to any other God, only to you? Because we want you to be our God.
King Darius, you are wise. You can do that. And
so what happened? If there will be people who would pray to other things or other gods except me.
You just put in your decree that he would be thrown into the lion's den.
Okay, I will do that. We'll sign. Where's my pen? Okay, I will sign that in the decree. And then spies are running, coming.
Sir, we have seen Daniel. He's praying.
How many times?
3 times a day. In the morning, the afternoon, and at dusk.
Really?
Now, Darius, who liked Daniel, was in a terrible mood. What did I do? My friend Daniel. So he was terrified. What he cannot do?
Then the satrap, King Darius, you cannot repel that. You have put that in writing, you know. It's a decree of the Medes and the Persian, and anything that you have signed will not be repelled, will not be destroyed. Well, Darius said to Daniel, may your God save you. You can now throw Daniel. And at night he cannot sleep. He was thinking, oh, what happened? What? Why did I do that? Why did I not think of it? And then early in the morning, he went on, opened the lion's den. Daniel, yes, King Darius, I'm here.
Oh, you're alive.
Yes, King Darius. My Lord sent an angel to shut the mouth of the lion.
All right, take Daniel out.
And where were those accusers? They were surprised.
Daniel was alive.
Yeah, okay, round up those accusers, including their children, including their families, including their wives. Take them, throw them into the lion's den. And before they reached the ground, they were destroyed, overpowered, and crushed, including all their bones, accordingly. Including all their bones were crushed by the lion. And King Darius decreed in Daniel chapter 6, 26 to 28. Let's read this. For every part, in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues, he saves, he performs signs and wonders and in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lion. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And many times we think of our problem like end of the world, but even if we think of it, it's not yet about life and death. When it's life and death, you can trust in the Lord. Whatever His will is for your own good. In all generations, there are influential groups against religious practices. And we experience that this generation. It is biblical reality that may persist. It won't stop until Christ returns. So what do we do? First, we have to behave properly, act with propriety. If we need to respect authorities just as Joseph exemplified propriety and proper respect to Pharaoh. And what happened to him, it was favorable to him and his family. In cases when we must choose between godly lifestyle like Daniel, we trust that the Lord would take care of things out of control, things that we don't know, things that we cannot predict on what may happen. Let's read 33 to 34. When Pharaoh calls you in and asks, what is your occupation? You should answer, your servants have tended livestock from our boyhood on. just as our fathers did, then you will be allowed to settle in the region of Goshen, for all the shepherds are detestable to the Egyptian. So this is the last kind like signature move for them to officially live in Goshen. And Joseph displayed this godly wisdom and discernment when he predicted what Pharaoh might ask his brothers. Now, he knew exactly what would Pharaoh, he predicted what would Pharaoh ask, and he advised his brothers what to tell. He advised them to tell the truth. Don't lie about your occupation. You are shepherds. Tell him that you are shepherds. And they may have personally observed when his brothers went to Egypt, and Joseph emphasized it to them that ancient Egyptians were prejudiced to shepherd. He said, for all shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians. Why did Joseph remind his brothers to tell Pharaoh they were shepherd? Why would he emphasize that? Don't lie, tell them. Joseph knew that his brothers had this tendency to lie. Just to lie. He knew they lied to their father about their activities. When his father told him, why are the sheep are not growing in number? Oh, I don't know, maybe animals sold, killed them. That was the reason why, how, what happened to Joseph. But actually they were selling a sheep for their nightlife, and that's what he did to Joseph. They sold him for them to have money. And Joseph knew that. Joseph, you are young. Kita mo to? Imik lang, ha? Joseph was a lanky 17 years old. Do not have that muscle that just yet. But Joseph did not want to lie to his father. Oh, he just told them everything. Oh, my brothers would sell the sheep and his cattle, and they would go to Dothan and have their nightlife. And they hated him because of that. Because he cannot lie. So his brothers hated him and told Jacob, because he told Jacob their escapades, their, what they were doing when they were in the field. That's why they sold him. They lied that Joseph may have been killed by wild animals. And that was the reason when Jacob would say, bakit ko konti lang ating mga sheep, mga cattle, bakit hindi sila nag-grow? Why aren't they multiplying? Oh, maybe they are killed by animals when we were sleeping, father. So if they can lie to their father's face, there's no doubt they can lie to anybody else. Children, if you can lie to your parents, that's one day it will haunt you, because you can easily lie to anybody else. True. There are unpredictable consequences of telling the truth. We don't know what happens if we tell the truth. But telling the truth has better outcome than lying. Telling the truth is godly attribute. Even when it causes you much. I used this time to check my family before if they are lying or not. I went to the washroom and I saw the washroom was not as clean as I was expecting. And then when we were about to eat, I said, who used the washroom? Everybody were silent because they know that lion face, tiger face. It was so scary. I was scary, even now. And I said, I will give 200 pesos to the one who would say he did. Me, Louis said. Okay, 200. Ibili na lang natin ng ice cream. See? There are many ways how you would enable your children to tell the truth. When Joseph was young, he was not secretive. He never ventured on lying. He didn't want to lie. Perhaps he listened to his father, don't lie, it's not good. When he had a dream, God revealed to him, you will become greater than your brothers. And he said, and he went to his brothers, and he knew that his brothers hated him. And he told his brothers, brothers, come on, listen to me. I will become greater than you, you know what? And they hated him all the more. So they sold him, they hated him. Many years later, God made his dream come true. Truthfulness rewards greatly. Now, these days, there are a number of people who are very secretive. Magkano'ng sahod mo? Secret. They would not like to tell how much they earn. They don't want the government to know exactly how much they earn so that they can lie about their income tax return. And now, there are many fraud, many scams. Oh, hello, this is from CRA, and I can see in here that you have not paid your tax yet, and I guess you have cheated in your tax return, and you know, that kind of accent, my accent, you will hear that from the scam. And just send us cash, and we'll take care of everything. How much? Maybe 500 or no, 3,000 is enough, because accordingly you will be jailed for many years, or because you're. And they believe. Yesterday I heard that again. I listened to it. Oh, is this Lorenzo Salong? Yes. Is this the owner of the Meeples Evangelical Church? No, nobody owns the Meeples Evangelical Church. Oh, but you own a cell phone? Yes, I own a cell phone. Oh, according to your cell phone, you haven't paid 239 yet, and you are delayed with the next, there's 50. Oh, that's Tina's responsibility, not mine. And I just put, hang on, if I failed in paying my phone, it's Tina's responsibility. Don't worry about that, I put it down. And why do people are so scared that the government may discover they lied about their income tax when they submitted their income tax return? Because they lied. They lied. So if you're doing right, whatever is come that they may say, I will cut off your electricity, I will cut off your hydro, I will cut off your telephone, go ahead. I would say, go ahead and cut. Then I will not pay anything. And I will say, oh, I don't have, Pastor, I cannot call you. Oh, somebody cut my telephone. I don't care about that. The scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 to 15, let's read this together. For the eyes of the Lord, let's read. For the eyes of the Lord in his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats, do not be frightened, but in your heart revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for hope that you have. Nice, huh? You've got nothing to fear if you do what is right and proper. The scripture is written. It's a manual, an instruction, a reminder for godly living. But we need the empowerment of Christ's Spirit to live a lifestyle according to his word, to the scripture. We cannot achieve godly lifestyle by our human effort. We cannot. Human effort results to what? Human lifestyle, not godly lifestyle. Godly effort is godly equals godly lifestyle. Human effort equals human lifestyle. Let's learn from Jacob. When he hesitated to respond to the prompting of the Lord for him to go to Egypt, he prayed. Pray. The Lord assured him to be with him. For keep praying until you hear the assurance from the Lord. Let's learn from Joseph. He observed propriety, proper behavior.
He did not abuse his authority. Don't abuse your authority, your responsibility. When you go to work, go do what is should be done. If you are a student, do what should be done. If you have responsibility, do what you are required to do. And ask the Lord to enable you so that it will be counted to your reward. Joseph was quick to inform Pharaoh that his decree to follow his family to live in Goshen had been implemented accordingly. That was a good example of proper behavior and political propriety. He also reminded his brothers, tell the truth, tell the truth. Pray that God would continue to empower us to live a godly lifestyle. Shall we stand up? Shall we stand up for as we pray? Bow down your heads and ask the Lord. Lord, ask Him, reveal to me what lifestyle I need to change that I may live a godly lifestyle acceptable to you. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to reveal to you your spiritual gift that you may use it accordingly. Because that would be one of the basis of God to give you authority. When we reign with Christ on earth for 1,000 years, and ask the Lord to increase your faith, to trust you, and wait for His coming again. Include in your prayer that may the Lord come in our lifestyle, that we may personally see alive our transformation to glorified body.